and home. The views expressed on this program are those of the host and the guests and are not necessarily those of IR, its advertisers, or affiliates.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization and Christian civilization, it will be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And I just wanted to comment that as we approach the Christmas season where we honor the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we see all of the holiday decorations and the television programs that are being planned to show to the public, you'll notice one thing. They never mention Jesus Christ, which was, of course, the reason for the season. But the reason it isn't, Jesus is not mentioned at this time of year, is because there are those people in key positions within the media, within television, within every aspect of our society who have an intense hatred of Christianity. And not until you understand that there truly is a conspiracy against the God of the Bible can you understand anything that's going on in the world today, because we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and there are people who are intent upon removing any vestige of a memory of Christianity from the hearts of the once great American Christian people. And that is why the people who work with behind the scenes hate America so much, because we were once a great Christian nation. Well, with that as the background, let's get into our story tonight, and we're going to be talking about something called sustainable development. And there is a program financed by some of the wealthiest people in the world, like, of course, Al Gore, to actually use the environment as a vehicle of stripping us of our individual rights under God. Al Gore and the people who are pushing this whole idea of global warming and sustainable development. Really, we can trace this movement back to 1971, when the Club of Rome came out with a book called The Limits of Growth, and began talking about how we're running out of oil, we're running out of water, we're running out of air, we're running out of natural resources. What we've got to do is drastically cut the population and limit what the people are allowed to utilize. And, of course, that was the theme of the book, Limits of Growth. It was alive in the very beginning. But in 1991, there was a meeting held on the yacht Britannia, where Prince Charles called the leaders, the financial and banking leaders of the world together, and Al Gore was there. And basically, they laid out the plan that was then become the agenda for the Second Earth Summit, held in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. And an important part of that was this whole scam of sustainable development, and of course then leading us into Agenda 21, which is the secret agenda for the 21st century. Of course, it's not very secret now. They're laying it all out. To utilize the threat, the threat of extermination by running out of everything, to justify massively expanding government control over the lives of the people, realizing that if you said something often enough, didn't matter if it was true or ridiculous, people would believe. And unfortunately, they have, and they're using a lot of people's idealism about environmentalism to justify stripping us of our freedom, of our God-given rights. Well, with us this evening to talk about sustainable development, our good friend Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates. Michael, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. That was a...
Well, we're going to let you begin talking about this and introducing our listeners to the work that you and your organization is doing. And Michael lives here in Santa Cruz with me. And so at least I'm not alone. There's one other person of sanity, and he has a number of good people working with him. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about sustainable development with Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, let's talk tonight in general terms on three questions, three major questions. First question is, what is sustainable development? Now, to really understand it, it kind of requires a personal commitment to dig in and read some things. Once you start to see the pattern, it becomes very obvious, and you can sort of predict what goes from there. And that's the position you want to be. We're fighting the most gruesome enemy humankind has ever seen. The devil can rise to control the technology of our society, and if he's got the political capacity to use that technology to control us, well, we will be controlled unless we understand what we're fighting against and react accordingly to fight it off. We can't fight off what we don't know, and that's why the Global to Local Action Plan for bringing global governance into everyone's life, denying all liberty, abolishing private property. If we allow that to happen, our liberty will be gone and our humanity will be destroyed for a very long time, because the technology exists today to do just that, to manage human beings as biological resources. That's what the Department of Interior, Federal Government, United States of America calls us. We are biological resources to be managed under the system of sustainable development. Well, it's pretty important that once this policy was launched on the world stage and adopted by the Republican Party, implemented by the Democrat Party, and now the Republican Party, it doesn't matter what party's in control, they are both committed to sustainable development. And that's why the globalist-controlled media system doesn't tell us what sustainable development is. Here in Santa Cruz, you'll hear the word all the time coming from the elected officials, and it's printed in the newspaper. But it's always, isn't it wonderful that we're sustainable? We need to understand, as human beings, what sustainable development is. And when we understand what it is, it'll become quite obvious why it is we should care. I'll jump ahead to that and just outline a couple of reasons why we should care. The effects of sustainable development are first to destroy the middle class. Second, establish, quote, sustainable smart growth zones. These are very narrow living zones where the surviving population will be required to live. The animals will roam free, and the people will be locked in. Remember, human beings are biological resources. The other effect of sustainable development...
I'm going to have to interrupt you right there, Michael. We're going to have to just bring our seats on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is simply outlining what this is really all about. This is a clever scam by people of great wealth and very great knowledge, and yes, by people who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. This is a clever scam for controlling the people. And, of course, using this supposed threat of the environment, they are actually manipulating us, all of us, into these ideas of very smart growth. That means we're all going to be bundled together in very small apartments where we can be watched and where we can be monitored and where we can be controlled. Everything about this program centers around control. And as long as they control the media and there's no opposition, as long as they control the leadership of both political parties, and as Michael points out, the Republicans are leading the way towards this concept. Not that every Republican politician understands, but he goes along because everybody else is going along, and there are few people who have the courage to speak out. But the Democrats are involved as well. Don't believe this. This is bipartisan treason. And it is treason because these are subversive ideas intent upon destroying individual freedom as laid out in our Constitution and bringing in totalitarian control under our ruling elite. And, Michael, I'm going to be quiet. You pick up the story from there.
Well, Stan, that's a beautiful description. You know, the effects that we were beginning to discuss was the destruction of the middle class, and we see that coming from a thousand directions, whether we've been affected yet or not. You know, just look at the prospects for the dollar as it's being created today. You know, if the funny money, the U.S. dollar, implodes, the American populace needs first to think why it happened. Understanding sustainable development and the ingredients to the sustainable mustard will cause you to understand now and after adversity occurs what is occurring, and when you know that, you'll know how to respond. That's the only way humanity is going to be able to in any way salvage the concept of unalienable rights, because it's unalienable rights that are specifically targeted by sustainable development policy. You know, what it means is that a reduced human population is the protocol for sustainable development in their documents, easily to understand, to read, to have documented. It's about world governance based upon public decree, not individual rights. It means not only do many lose their life per se, everyone else loses their liberty. It is about the abolition of private property. And that's why ranchers and farmers across this country are under such massive attack. That attack is going to come to suburbia. It's already being planted. You can see it in the water bills, wherever you are. I mean, here in Santa Cruz, they're just rising like crazy. They're cutting off the water supply. You're going to have to live to the World Bank objectives of 10 gallons of water per day per person. The average American uses 140 gallons of water. And you know what? The use of our water doesn't destroy the water. It just changes its location. It goes through its change in form, and it comes back down as fresh rain.
And, of course, the thing is that the control the water, you control the people. And people find it's difficult to believe anybody would use water to control people. They're tearing dams down today instead of putting them in to control the water. They're doing everything they can to disrupt and come up with logical conclusions. They're blocking logical conclusions because really they don't want a solution to the water problem. They want the problem so they can control you. And when you understand that, why you'll begin to understand so much of what's going on and why we waste so much money on studies. But, of course, the water commissions all across America, which has been infiltrated by these people who are intent upon sustainable development, block efforts to provide adequate water, and, of course, because they want the problem. Once you understand how important the problem is, then, of course, you're going to understand what their solution is, and their solution is, we're going to control you. Go ahead.
Well, Stan, the Sierra Club is an NGO. An NGO means a non-governmental organization, which is licensed by the United Nations. That's what NGO means. Licensed by the United Nations for the purpose of implementing sustainable development. Now, the Sierra Club's primary purpose is to gain control of Western water boards. We see that here in Santa Cruz. You see it throughout the West. And what you talk about in terms of the policy of sustainable development water is precisely right. It is to take the water right, the property right in water, from rural landowners away from them, force them into smart growth zones, where the water controlled by the forces, the political forces of the New World Order, whether it's government straightly or public-private partnership. You know, that's the big economic flip that happens under sustainable development. We go from a system of private property, where the citizens own the property, to a system of public-private partnership, meaning Mussolini style. He picks the heads of the corporations that he establishes that run all our lives from top to bottom. That is what's occurring in America. That is what the Supreme Court has endorsed in 2005 in the Lingle versus Chevron case, evidenced by its decision 1 month later in the Kelo versus New London, Connecticut case, where Pfizer was able to take 300, a public-private partner, Pfizer was able to take 300 homes from people so they could build their property, their parking lot, or their new headquarters. So this is something that could not be justified under American law for over 230 years. And then in 2005, with a 5-4 vote of the Supreme Court, all of a sudden our economic framework changes. We're now a system of public-private partnership. That's why in Santa Cruz, you have to be a partner with the government if you want to build houses. Well, what kind of houses does the government want built? Well, our government has received $300 million of American taxpayer money for the purpose of building smart growth housing along a railroad line. These units are to be average 800 square feet. The subsidy to the builder, the partner who builds to these standards, is $100,000 a unit. Free enterprise dies on the vine, and with it goes liberty, because the people who live in these smart growth housing buy at set prices and are forced to sell at set prices. They live with the government-imposed rules on their lifestyle. And from what I hear in Santa Cruz, these units that have been built and are now inhabited are not being enjoyed by many of the people who live there. This is about the creation of the New World Order we hear so often about. If you don't understand the policies of sustainable development, you won't understand how the New World Order is going to change your life in front of your eyes. Now, I can't tell you it's within the next 5 years, though it could be. Their plan is a total transformation through the 21st century. They know, though, that if they move too slowly in gaining control over people, they'll lose their chance. How long, when they're running across the field to get to the other side where it's a total control, you know, how fast do they have to run to not be seen out in the open? They're out in the open now. It's clear with the problems around the world, the problems with the dollar, the problems with the education system, the problems with the public spirit, that America is being set for a fall. Pat Buchanan on TV just the other night said America is going to fall. Well, he's not pointing to the system that is structured to cause a fall. That is called sustainable development. It is the official policy of the federal government, the government of the governor of the state of California, and the five-person members of the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors. Now, you say, well, I don't live in Santa Cruz, so it's not affecting me. I'll tell you that every county in the United States has a sustainable development implementation program. There is, Santa Cruz was one of the first. It was the practice zone. They got a lot of wind. They set up their green belts and deployed the system across the country. It is everywhere now. It is not being effectively fought.
And that's because they've really infiltrated all across America. They put their people onto the city councils, on the boards of supervisors, into the planning department. And you try to fight them, you run for a state board of supervisors, you win. They will harass you, they'll threaten your life, they'll make your life so miserable that after one session, you're ready to get out. You'll be attacked by the newspapers, you'll be attacked by the radios. They've infiltrated every aspect of our society because they have an agenda. And that is to control the individual. Until people understand that, you can't understand anything going on. There is no county in this entire nation today that doesn't have a master plan, and that is being carried out, that in form follows along with this idea of sustainable development. Would that be true, Michael?
Well, that is absolutely true. And yet, people don't have to be dismayed or disillusioned by that. I mean, when you first swallow that pill, it's a tough one to swallow under any set of circumstances. I understand that. But if America simply realized sustainable development, the first thing we'd be seeing the next morning is 70% of our politicians condemning anything having to do with the implementation of sustainable development policy. Okay? It's even amongst the politicians, a small percentage, an even smaller percentage in society, much smaller, of people who really want to transform America from the land of the free and the home of the brave to the land of the controlled and the home of the enslaved. That's what sustainable development is. It's the sly way. It was Nikita Khrushchev who said, "We will bury you without firing a shot." Well, sustainable development is that program. It is in your community. Santa Cruz is awash with it and has been for decades. Now's the time to understand, because tomorrow
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Michael Shaw as he lays out an understanding view of how this subversive program. But you see, it is being encouraged by the people at the highest levels of our government. They have presidential commissions on sustainable development. It's all around you, and you're never going to hear about it because they control the media. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what sustainable development is. You know, firstly, I like to say, because I think it cuts...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iOtterol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
What people do not understand is this move towards sustainable development and control of the individual and eventual, of course, massive population reduction is being fostered and financed by people of great wealth. A number of people of great wealth, and it has nothing to do with the Republican Party, has nothing to do with the Democrat Party, with right or left, conservative or liberal. These people have a different worldview. And they really want to, first of all, to enslave mankind. And these are people of great wealth who they can call themselves rightists or leftists, doesn't matter. These are people of great wealth, and of course, you need only to go to their own publications and you'll find out exactly who they are and how this whole thing is being financed. But even more important than that is what Michael was mentioning about this program of massive population control. This is one reason why they want wars. It's a very efficient means of killing people. This is why they want abortion. This is why they want euthanasia. This is why so many of our older people are dying of Alzheimer's disease today, which was never a problem before, or why so many of our people are dying of heart disease, or why we have so much diabetes, why back at the beginning of the last century, one in every 33 people died of cancer. Today, one in three people die of cancer. Would that suggest to you that something has changed? Maybe there is an agenda out there, and that we have a war on cancer to protect us, and well, they're not doing a very good job, are they? How many people do you know have died of cancer unnecessarily in your family, in your neighborhood? But there really are people who have a different agenda, who think there's nothing wrong with people dying of cancer because they have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer and die young because there are too many people in the world. And once you begin to understand the mentality of these people, you can begin to understand what we're really up against. Why don't you pick it up from there, Michael?
Well, let's be a little specific about what sustainable development is. They describe themselves as a system of three E's. You can go to Congressman Sam Farr, our local congressman, his website, and you can see him talking about the three E's. Three E's are equity, meaning the system of justice, economy, and environment. Well, one needs to just take a brief review of what they mean by those terms, and your antenna goes up. By equity, they mean converting the American system of equal justice into a system of so-called social justice. Now, social justice is communism. It's where rights are distributed to groups in accordance with the group thought. Social justice is not about a system of unalienable rights. It's about a system of societal rights. So right away, sustainable development is very suspect. Economy, by what they mean by economy, doesn't mean a strong economy. It means a system of economics different from one based on private property. It's about creating a system of public-private partnership. Now, when I was a kid, we weren't so polite. It was called fascism back then. But economic fascism, developed by Benito Mussolini, is exactly what public-private partnership is. It means that the government chooses their buddies and arranges the law to benefit and incentivize the buddies while the serfs live or die. Sustainable development's policy of justice is communistic. Its system of economics is fascist. That's why I call it fascist, small f, communism. It converts the system of a democratic republic, small d, capital R, where unalienable rights are the protection of them is the primary purpose of government, into a system of fascist communism. Now, Americans won't sit still for that for 2 seconds if they understood it. But what covers the tracks for the political economics of sustainable development is their call for the protection of the environment. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, exercising government's legitimate role to make sure the water stays clean, to make sure the air stays clean, and to make sure that I don't pollute your property. But today, environmentalism has meant the reason to abolish private property. And that's why farmers in Pajaro were subjected to a huge, massive tax on the withdrawal of water from their own wells, so they could weed out the farmers they didn't want and stay with their public-private partners.
In fact, in that area, even some of the farmers are giving up farmers so they can sell their water. They make more money selling their water, their small water allowance, to other farmers desperate for water than if they actually went out and farmed. And what they're doing one day is going to create great food shortages all across America, all across the world. Well, go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let me carry on that story, because this time it's not such a bad ending. The farmers were taxed $38 million. This is a small valley. The farmers paid in $38 million to this water confiscation tax. Well, the farmers got around to suing about 5 years ago, and last month, the State Court of Appeals reversed, ruled, in essence, that tax was illegitimate. Illegitimately collected, and it is now owed back to the farmers. So the Sustainable Development Water Plan in this county did not work. And we're going to see all kinds of things happening in the news over the next 30 or 60 days about the financial pressure that the illicit water district is in as a result of this ruling and their prior practice. But the good news there is that here, at least one circumstance, the sustainable policy for taking away private property by controlling natural resources has failed. And, one for the Gipper, we could say.
Well, the thing is that the American people don't want to give up their freedom. They don't want to give up their property rights. They don't want to give up their liberty. None of this would be working if it weren't for the control of the media, for the control of the political parties, for the control of the Farm Bureau and other similar organizations.
All NGOs, by the way.
Yeah, they've infiltrated all of these organizations, and everything is deceit and deception. And that's why programs like this and why Michael Shaw's work is so vitally important, because he's trying to let people know what's going on. And Michael, do you think they're waking up, at least some of the farmers, and some of the people in agriculture, some of the people who grow trees, realizing that this is all a scam to take away their God-given rights to the property that they've worked for?
Well, there are areas around the country where the awakening is running at a pretty good pace. You know, I think there's always been an underground here in Santa Cruz that's always broadening, that understands the scoop. I think the farmers and following them, the foresters in this community, are going to catch on. You know, the real grouping of individuals that needs to understand the ultimate effects of sustainable development are the suburban single-family homeowners, because that's the big target. You know, of course, you know, the big landscape is with the rural owners, but the real population movement and restructure comes when suburbia is taken down, and that is on the sustainable development agenda. And you better watch your local water policy, because it will be through water policy that much of that progress will be made.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Mike was just saying, how are they going to control the people in their homes? Why, very simply, by creating artificial water shortages, especially if you live out in the rural areas, and suddenly they'll say, you can't have a well. Why? Because you're stealing water, the common water that runs under your property, But we'll give you 100 gallons a day to use. That's all. You can use their 50 gallons or 10 gallons. I guess 10 gallons is what the World Bank water policy is all about, and most people have never heard about the World Bank water policy. Why? Because you're not supposed to. Well, right now I want Michael to give out his telephone number. I want him to give out his address, his website, so you can get his material. Some of the finest material we have today on sustainable development. And this is not simply a local organization he runs, Freedom Advocates. It's a national, international organization. His material goes out across the world. Now, if you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But go ahead, let's get your material out there.
Well, it's freedomadvocates.org, easy enough, freedomadvocates.org, and there you'll find, whether you want video, audio, or print material, that will get you to a broad understanding of sustainable development policy. You know, the more you look at our site, the more you'll see circumstances that reflect what you know is going on in your own community. And when you know that, you can kind of see that it's happened here, and this is how it fits into the total picture. You'll begin to understand how it is we do fight back, because it's not a war that's going to be fought with guns. Khrushchev was right. Okay, the big war isn't with guns; it's with ideas and with bureaucracy. And so understanding the bureaucracy of sustainable development, how it's been planted in your community to people who don't have a single idea of what I'm talking about. They just do what they're told.
But, of course, we always hear about how there's just too many people in the world, how suddenly the species, special species, are being destroyed. We need, of course, to protect certain types of mosquitoes or certain types of salamanders or certain types of butterflies. Oh, my goodness, these are endangered species. We hear all the time about, oh, my goodness, isn't it terrible about those forest fires, but we can't allow them to put in fire breaks in the woods. Why, that would interfere with the little animals there. We can't allow, you know, roads to be put into the forest so that people can get in and out. What we have to understand is that would you mind telling that story about Let It Burn, when you were actually working within the environmental system, and a high government official came and talked about how they were going to actually foster forest fires in our federal forests?
Well, that's exactly the circumstance. The argument was that the fires had been suppressed so long and that a healthy forest can't exist without the effects of fire. So it wasn't just a let it burn, it's make the fire fuel accumulate. Accumulate the fire fuel. Don't allow clearings.
And
so that we can
his
make
term
it burn
was
and make it burn big.
His term was make it burn, wasn't
make
that
it?
This was a federal official. This is the official policy of people at the highest levels of our government, but you can't tell that to the common folks.
Well, the evidence is the proof of the pudding. The fires out west have burned much more outrageously than they did decades before. You know, they like to blame it on global warming. It may be blamable on a bit of weather modification, but what it's really blamable on is the accumulation of fire fuel that comes on the bottom of forest floors. Here in Santa Cruz, you can't cut down a tree. The trees grow so thick that the healthy plants can't grow at the bottom. You just got tangled dead bushes on the floor. So when a fire starts, man, it goes. It makes a lot more sense to use old-fashioned private property notions of responsibility and management. That kept the forest healthy. It kept the economy rolling. And it let people be who they were, because it didn't impose this overwhelming government that takes our property. It was George Washington who said, private property and freedom are inseparable. I said that once to an audience in Wisconsin, and I had a school administrator just chew me out. I mean, I have never taken such a thrashing by anybody in my life, but I was enjoying it because she was condemning the notion of relying on George Washington, who, after all, is a 200-year dead white man.
And, of course, this is intense hatred of anything that's good or worthwhile in so many of our educators. It's because they have been miseducated. I know I was a victim of a liberal education as well. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Dan, who's calling from Spokane. Dan, did you have a question for our guest?
I did, and I also had a comment. You know, we're kind of involved in local politics up here in Spokane, just on a small basis, you know, carry signs and that sort of thing and try to get behind candidates. So we're in on some of these meetings that occur, you know, as to what issues will be coming up in the next election and what are the hot buttons that you're going to hear discussed. And I can tell you that right now, everybody knows that water is the dividing point between the conservatives and the and the left leaners. It's actually being discussed as a point of concern. So the politicians are lining up on this water, you know, getting their ducks in a row as far as how they feel about water and how they're going to present their views on water. So the politicians are aware of this in our area, and you know, in Washington, on the, this side of the Cascades. The fact that they're aware of it might give you, and are discussing it, might give you some hope, because, you know, nobody likes to leave office or you know, not lose the election. So Michael Shaw has probably had some effect in that regard. I mean, he's woken these office holders up to the fact that they had better address this. And now the other thing I was going to say is the connotations of words is very important, and you're, I'm sure, aware of that. Now, I was looking at a well that was just drilled here about 2 or 3 months ago, and the Washington State Department of Ecology labeled the well, which they never used to do, but they came out and they gave a tag on it, and guess what the term they used for that well? It was unique. They called it unique well. You know, the connotation being that, you know, this is out of the ordinary. You know, I'm sure you get that. Kind of a trick, you know, of vocabulary. And the idea is to kind of move people in the direction of thinking of an individual's water rights as being something that is a gift, you know, granted by the state.
And you're absolutely right. And what we need to do, of course, get people to understand that property rights include, you know, water rights. You take away the right of the people to have water and to get it from wells. Why, of course, you've taken away their one of their basic human rights. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Dan. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question for Mike. What does he know, maybe, of the great Ted Turner land grab in Montana, Nebraska, Wyoming? It's 2 million acres he seems to have gathered for himself.
All right, fine. Do you get the question, Mike?
Yes, what Ted Turner's accumulation of land. What Ted Turner is, you know, views himself as one of the ruling elite. You know, he's given $1 billion to the United Nations. He's a full globalist in import. And most of the land he's buying, if you looked at the wildlands map, which we've talked about before, not tonight, but wildlands map constitutes 50% of the American land mass, and this land is to be off limits to human beings. No resource extraction, nothing. Well, Ted Turner's lands largely are falling in these red zones. So, given his, we'll call it partnership with the UN, who knows what his deal may be. But all I know is that he's got big money, he's running with even bigger money carrots, and they all got a plan for everybody, and
I think it's important for our listeners. I think it's important for our listeners to understand that Ted Turner is one of the largest, or one of the two largest landowners in our entire nation, and of course he goes right along with this environmental movement as far as restricting what you do with your property and lumbering on your property. But, of course, on his own property, he always pulls the strings so he can make the money, so he can buy up more land. So these people give hypocrisy a bad name. Ted Turner's got three or four kids of his own, but he wants to limit you to one or none. And he's even talked about getting the population down to one time. I mean, he was talking getting the population down to about 100 million. I think he's relented and allowed a few more of us to live. There are these people, though, that they really do want to kill off most of the people in the world. And if you doubt that, you really need to get the new DVD we're carrying by Alex Jones entitled Endgame. That's Endgame. My talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. My talk on Planned Population Reduction. And certainly my treatise on the Population Control Agenda. And then go to their material and understand these people know exactly what they're doing. Go to Alberta, Georgia. See the Georgia Guidestones, where they talk about maintaining the world population at 500 million. They're talking about killing off over 95% of the world's population. These people have a different worldview. because they worship a different god. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I just wonder who pulls Ted's strings, because he was lifted into the position that he's in. He didn't just get there by himself.
And but do you have any thoughts on that, Michael?
No, I don't. I mean, you know, there was a day when free enterprise entrepreneurialism could make you a lot of money, and he may have been playing the economic game when that was still the circumstance. He may have made his start legitimately and then sold out.
He actually inherited most of his money, and then, of course, he was a very, very smart man, and he developed the CNN. That was one of his things, and then he sold it to AOL, and it became AOL-CNN. So, but there is another spiritual force behind Ted Turner, because he has an intense hatred of God. Thanks so very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and you pick up the story there, Michael.
Well, let's talk a little bit about these land use action plans, the Wildlands Project, which the last caller caused me to reference. And the Wildlands Project is just that. It's to take half of America and put it off limits for American use. Well, that's one good way to make sure the population isn't supported, at least isn't supported to the manner that it has become supported. You know, sustainable development is about the elimination of the middle class. You know, there'll be the rulers, and, you know, I like to call them the slave masters, who might live out in suburbia, or out in a rural setting, as a public-private partner. Everybody else is designed to live in smart growth communities. Now, here in Santa Cruz, that's a term that should be known by anybody tuning in, because you hear it sifting around here and there. The planning officers, officials, actually testify that we are a smart growth county and that their rules and regulations are designed to implement smart growth policy. Well, smart growth policy is the land use policy for human engagement. It's really plant all the humans in a narrow little highly dense zone. You know, in Santa Cruz they're talking about tearing down all the houses on the west side, lovely part of the town, and building smart growth housing, meaning up to 15 stories in this part of the world, along a rail line where people basically are assigned units. They'll also be assigned work. Their children will be taken care of by the government people during the day. This is the world we're moving to. It is 1984, and we're just passively going along and accepting what is coming from our leaders. You say, well, wait a minute. We're dealing with a local level. Our local people aren't selling us out to this world communist fascist system. No way. Well, it may be that your leaders don't know what they're doing. But they have heard the terms, they are implementing the policy, and they're doing it for whatever reason impels them to do it. Maybe it's to maintain their strength within their local political party. They're not asking the questions. They may not even know what sustainable development is, but all the pieces of all the workings that the people are doing, having been guided down this sustainable development smart growth path, is putting all of America right in the globalist pocket. We now see the dollar beginning to be plummeted. They can implode the funny money anytime they want. Remember, our money is nothing but the promise from the globalists to pay us a dollar for a dollar. But the money is backed with nothing that's real, and so when it begins to skyrocket, either because the market loses confidence or the money managers decide to implode the currency, the U.S. dollar could be imploded by a system of globalist bankers who control our money system. That ought to be cause for worry in the spirit of everyone. Not to become freaked out, but accept reality. Know we're being taken down a path, and put your eyes on a target that you can lop onto and begin to glean an understanding of sustainable development, political economics.
And basically, if we're talking about sustainable development, we're talking about control. That's what it's all about. Under the name of course, trying to make sure there's enough natural resources for future generations, it's all a scam to control the people. And the average individual, many people even support it, have no idea how they're being manipulated in the same way that this whole scam of global warming. What's the solution to the problem of global warming? More government control over your lives. That's why Al Gore and the elitists want it. And tragically, the entire American media goes right along with all of these programs. And this is why you never hear a discussion like you're hearing tonight on most radio stations. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, and let's make clear about why that is. The globalists, those who've earned interest on the monies that have been loaned to all the people in America for 90 years now, and have accumulated all this interest, have turned it back and bought the media. They bought the political parties. It's no wonder our back is against the wall. But understanding how that system fits together makes easy the decision for how you want to proceed.
What's your website again? What's your website?
FreedomAdvocates.org. Our phone number is 831-684-2232.
One more time, the telephone number.
684-2232.
That's an 831-684. All right, Michael, you have 3 minutes to finish up the program.
Well, the question becomes, what should you do? You know, once you've accepted that there's a problem in America, and this concept that it's all about a program called sustainable development, it makes sense or intrigues me. What do you do? Well, the first thing you got to do is learn something. Start at our website, freedomadvocates.org. We'll send you to a lot of other places. I guarantee you, you'll come away with a good understanding of sustainable development. You'll be able to see it in your own community. You can call us and ask us what we think, and we'll certainly share our ideas with you. But once you've got it, then it's a matter of letting others know. And it's really a one-by-one inspiration that we need to sell all over the country and the world if it goes further, so that people understand the threat against us, understand who we are. I mean, we've been taught not to understand who we even are. When we understand where our enemy is and who we are, the program will become clear to everyone, because it'll be what you're created to do will be done.
And I think one of the hardest things for most people to realize is that there are many, many people of great wealth and great power who support these communistic ideas of, everything being controlled by the government. Why would they want that sort of thing? Why, very simply, because they want to control you. They're not going to have to, live in sustainable communities. They're not going to have to give up all the comforts that go, and certainly it's not going to be their children who are going to be eliminated in the wars. They're not going to send their kids off to fight and die in senseless wars that were never allowed to win. Our boys weren't allowed to win in Korea. Our boys weren't allowed to win in Vietnam. And they're not being allowed to win over in Iraq and in Afghanistan today. We've been fighting 6 years in Afghanistan. Why are we there? We went there to catch Osama bin Laden, and we never tried to catch him. Because high officials, and we'll give you the documentation if you call us and ask for it, high officials said on the very day that our troops arrived in Afghanistan, if we catch Osama bin Laden, how will we justify this war? Our goal is not Osama bin Laden first. Our goal is Osama bin Laden last. Because if we got him, how would we justify the war? They're always justifying the war and killing more people. Michael, do you want to finish up the program?
Well, I just say that I encourage the listeners to come to understand sustainable development, spread the word, and one by one, at the late date that it is, we can win the battle.
We've got to, because we've got no other place to go. God bless. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me first of all comment that Michael Shaw's information on this subject is excellent. We recommend it to you. And you go to his website and get it, or give him a call. And then, of course, we also hope that many of you will go to my website, RadioLiberty.com. We have an excellent syllabus on this subject, on sustainable development. There's no other syllabus out there that's quite as good as ours. I say that with all due humility, but it really is true. We have a video called Sustainable Development, The Road to World Government. We have a four-tape set. We have a material on population control. If you've not yet seen my video, Nandir College Genocide, you need to see it. You need to see my, actually it's a DVD, and then there's the DVD entitled Planned Population Reduction. They really do intend to kill off most of the world's population. If you doubt that, you get the Global Biodiversity Assessment put out by Cambridge University Press after the Second Earth Summit in 1992, or we have a good summary of that in my Sustainable Development syllabus. You'll certainly want to get Alex Jones' latest DVD, Endgame. That's Endgame. He does an excellent job, and I give him all sorts of credit for putting together a fascinating analysis, certainly of population control, and taking you into the Bilderbergers, one of those semi-secret organizations that works behind the scenes, that has concealed its existence for the better part of half a century, because their members control the media. But you'll actually see the members of the Bilderbergers in their big black limousines as they're being driven into their enclaves 2 years ago up in Canada for their secret meeting. But the Bilderbergers are deeply involved in this whole thing, and that's the subject of the Endgame DVD. We recommend this to you. And then if you want to know about the satanic crimes of the Bilderbergers, their involvement with pedophilia and the sexual murders, the book Satanic Crimes and a four-tape set on the same subject. This is not imaginary, this is real. These people of great wealth have that wealth because they've sold their souls to the dark side, to the devil. If you don't believe this sort of thing goes on today, then you need to get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, 4-hour, or 10-hour versions. And I promise you, you will never look at the music world through the same eyes. But it's not just in the music world where people have sold their souls to the devil. It's in the political world, in the financial world, in the banking world, and people working for government itself. And there really are secret societies out there, and that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's why you need to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret. Now, all of these things are available at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there live 4 hours a day. And we have a feed that you can listen 9 hours a day just to Radio Liberty and then to the other programs that are affiliated with Radio Liberty. Get other people listening. Find out if we're telling you the truth and then join us in this epic struggle. Because we are at war today. Humanity is under attack by organized evil. Until you understand that there really are people out there who belong to secret societies that have been around thousands of years, none of this makes any sense. We are living at the most exciting time in history because we are moving at the time when there will be a fulfillment of the ancient plan laid out many years ago. In fact, President Bush talks about that in his second inaugural address when he says, when our founders created a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. You probably heard him say that in his second inaugural address and had no idea what is the ancient hope, why it's the it is this idea of the new world order, the Novus Ordo Seclorum. It's on the back of the dollar bill. It's an ancient phrase by the ancient secret societies being implemented today by the leaders of both political parties using America's wealth. Our number 1-800-544-8927. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we'll ask for calls if we want to get them later in the program. But I really don't want to interrupt, because tonight we have with us Dr. Russell Blaylock, certainly one of my favorite guests, and we're going to be talking about something that I think should be of interest to almost any adult in America today. Because we find that the people are dying because they have high cholesterol. Now, what is the definition of high cholesterol that leads to heart attack? Well, when I went to medical school, the level of cholesterol was about 280. By the time I left medicine, why, normal cholesterol was up to 230, and that was considered normal. But the drug companies really couldn't get that many people onto their drugs unless they could somehow prove that you had to get the levels down below 200, 175, 150. And of course, they have some wonderful medicines to do that. They're very effective. They poison the liver, so the liver doesn't produce cholesterol, and you can get the levels down. But does it influence longevity? Does it influence the number of people who are going to die from heart attacks? And that's the big question. The drug companies, of course, have done everything they could to convince the American people you've got to get on these statin drugs. Something like 20 to 30 million people are on these drugs, and the drug industry is one of the largest industries in the country. They make over $250 billion a year, a lot of it from drugs. Well, drugs that I'm not necessarily certain are doing that much good to prolong our lives. But that is the background. Dr. Russell Blaylock is a retired neurosurgeon, practiced in Jackson, Mississippi for many years. I've known him for a long, long time. He's written a book we carry, actually three books we carry, two of them, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life and Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, are both available from Radio Liberty. But right now, Dr. Blaylock, thank you so very much for being with us this evening. There we are. Thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
Why don't you give us the little background of what you've been able to find, because you go into all the scientific studies. The average doctor only knows really what he learns at the medical meetings, which are usually financed by the drug companies, what he reads in the medical journals, financed by the drug companies, and what he hears from the detailed men and women who come to his office smiling with free samples, who, of course, are employed by the drug companies. What's the truth about what's going on in America today?
Well, what we've seen is, and these appeared on most of the news networks and newspapers, is stories of people who were told that their blood cholesterol was slightly elevated, 220, 210, and their doctor said, well, we need to put you on this medication to lower your cholesterol. It's called a statin drug. So the person takes it, trusting his doctor, and within a short period of time, they develop muscle aches and muscle pains and weakness and fatigue. And before long, they're crippled. They're unable to get up out of a sitting position because of the intense weakness. And a significant number of these people have gone on to die. When we look at what's happening with the statin drugs, we find out that, in fact, they're quite dangerous drugs. And the very indication for which they're prescribing these drugs really is not a good indication.
All right, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Russ Blaylock. There's much more to this story. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock. And, of course, he's been describing a condition which is known as rhabdomyolysis, which is a fancy medical term. Doctors love to use these fancy medical terms. For rhabdo, meaning skeletal muscle, and myolysis, meaning dissolution of the muscle. And I know we did have one of the statin drugs that was really well known for that. What was it, Bacor or something they took off the market?
Why, that had a high death rate.
All right, fine. But now, what about the others, of course?
Well, if you look at the incidence of this condition with the other ones, the highest is Zocor. It was 35% incidence in an FDA study of all the different cases. Next in incidence was Pravacol matched by Liptor. And then the least was Mevacor. And this is just one complication.
Well, now, of course, what incidence are we taking? Because, you know, there must be 10 million people or more taking Lipitor today. That's really one of the most popular drugs. What percentage of those people will, you know, of course, most of them are not going to get the flagrant rhabdomyolysis with the certainly the dissolution of the muscle tissue and the getting the muscle pigment of the kidneys and death. What's the incidence simply of weakness that comes associated with that?
Well, they find 1 in 10 people are going to have muscle changes when they biopsied people that were taking statin drugs. They found that the incidence of histological damage to the muscle itself was much higher than the full-blown syndrome. Now, the full-blown syndrome, where you're so weak you can hardly get out of a chair, is 1 to 7% of people that take statin drugs. Now, with their projected goal of 67 million taking these statin drugs, you're talking about millions of people coming down with a crippling condition, which in a fair number of cases ends up fatal. So it's not a minor condition, and a lot of these people never recover. You know, this is not always a reversible condition. They can be permanently crippled, unemployable, have to go on disability for the rest of their life, and some of these are quite young people in their early 40s that were talked into taking these medications.
Well, now, but what about this idea that when you take the Lipitor, when you take the other statin drugs, why you're going to cut down on the incidence of heart attack and death? I mean, after all, isn't it a cost-benefit ratio? Isn't it better, perhaps, to take something that keep you from getting a heart attack?
Well, it would be something you might consider if there were no other alternatives. But, in fact, there's a very simple supplement called Policosanol.
Hold that thought right there, Russell. Let me... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Blaylock has been just saying that if you look at the statistics of what happens when you go under the statin drugs, they've actually done muscle biopsies. Certainly some people get extremely weak from this, but at least 1 in 10 when they do muscle biopsies have changes in the muscle, and somewhere between 1 and 7% of the people who are on these statin drugs will have the weakness associated with this as a direct result of the muscle toxicity from the statin drugs. And, of course, as they are doing everything they can to increase the number of us who are talked into taking these drugs by our doctors, and the doctors really believe what they're doing is right, because, after all, the government supports this, the FDA supports it, why their medical societies support this, and why everybody's doing it. It's almost malpractice not to put people onto these various statin drugs, and yet, are they doing more harm than good? So pick up the story there, Russell, please. You were saying there are other things that really can be done to lower the cholesterol.
Right. Their justification is, well, the seriousness of heart attack and stroke justifies the risk of these other side effects. But when you look at a simple supplement like policosanol, which is just an extract of sugar cane, it's a waxy substance, at a 20-milligram dose, it does everything that they say the statin drugs will do, but it has no complications. Even in massive doses, they've never found a harmful side effect to it. But it does things that the statin drugs do not do. For instance, there's no liver toxicity with policosanol. In fact, it's been shown to protect the liver against other toxins. It's been shown to significantly reduce brain injury in the case of strokes and heart injury in the case of heart attacks. It lowers the blood glucose, whereas statin drugs actually raise the blood glucose, making it worse for diabetics. Folic acetonide lowers the blood pressure. Statins have no effect. They find it is, of course, not carcinogenic. All of the statin drugs are known to be carcinogenic or promote cancer. That has no deleterious effects on levels of coenzyme Q10, whereas statin drugs have a devastating effect on coenzyme Q10, which is a very important metabolic substance in the body. Your heart needs it, your brain needs it, all cells need it to operate. And they think that this is part of the reason for this muscle weakness, is a severe depletion of coenzyme Q10 caused by statin drugs. So here you have a simple supplement. You take 20 milligrams a day at a very small cost, comparatively, and it does everything the statin drugs are supposed to do, and a lot more, gives you protection that the statin drugs don't give you.
Well,
so it's not like there's not an alternative.
My producer wants to know how to spell this substance you're speaking of.
The folic acetonide.
Right.
It's spelled P-O-L-I-C-O-S-A-N-O-L.
All right, is it available at the health food stores?
You can find almost any health food store, order it over the Internet. It's completely safe, and it's been extensively studied. It is in the cardiology journals. There's many studies on this substance have appeared in the cardiology journals. The cardiologists that study it said all of these things are true, that it works better than statin drugs. But the reason it's not known by the public is because the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know about it.
Well,
now, it's interesting, as you were saying, they're trying to get so many people on this. They have projected that 67 million Americans need to be on statin drugs for the rest of their life. Now, that includes 17 million diabetics, all obese people, all postmenopausal women, everybody who has high blood pressure, and everybody who lives a sedentary lifestyle. This is what the Annals of Medicine article had recommended. So that's almost half of the population of the United States. They want to have it. Now they're talking about even putting children on statin drugs.
And, of course, these really do act by more or less suppressing the liver. How do they lower the cholesterol? Because ordinarily, much of our cholesterol is actually produced by our liver. And as we get older, why, of course, we need that cholesterol, you know, for a good function of our body. How do the statin drugs work on the body? Don't they?
What statin drugs do is they inhibit a critical enzyme for the formation of cholesterol, called HMG CoA reductase. Now, what the statins do is they severely suppress this enzyme. In other words, they almost shut it off completely. And that's why people's cholesterol falls to such dramatic levels when they're on these statin drugs. Now, folic acetonide also inhibits HMG-CoA reductase, but it only does it to a small degree, just enough to lower your cholesterol slightly. Now, as you say, cholesterol is essential. All your hormones from your adrenal gland that have to do with cortisol, these things are made from cholesterol. Your brain cells require high levels of cholesterol. So the brain is very dependent on cholesterol. And they think this is why we're seeing an increasing number of cases of dementia, cognitive problems in people who are taking statin drugs. And we have a growing number of cases which were confused for Alzheimer's disease. They came out to be statin drugs. When they took them off in time, the people recovered. These cases are beginning to grow, and they're reported in the medical literature. We see cases of people who have behavioral problems, irritability, short temper, difficulty with recent memories, a very common complaint, delayed reflexes, attention problems, confusion, disorientation. And one of the interesting cases, which happened to a NASA astronaut, he went for his physical, regular physical. They tell him, well, your cholesterol is a little elevated, and they put him on, I think, Zocor. And within a short period of time, he became so disoriented. He had no idea who he was. He did not know where he lived. And it took a while for him to regain his memory. We call this transient global amnesia. More cases are beginning to appear of transient global amnesia associated with statin drug use. This is a very serious condition. I mean, you have no memory whatsoever during this period that you're affected by this condition. He didn't know his wife. He had no idea where he was. So we're seeing some serious brain effects of statin drugs, and it's being swept under the rug, except in the medical literature. It's being reported in the medical literature. I think there's a new book out that has collected a lot of these cases, and if you look on the Internet, you'll see a lot of people taking statin drugs that are writing in saying, yes, I'm having the same problem ever since I started on this drug. I'm having difficulty with memory. I get confused and disoriented. So this is a serious, serious problem, and if you're talking about putting people on it for the rest of their life, we're going to have a lot of dementia, a lot of confusion and cognitive problems in people. Some of these things were very interesting, that study by the American Heart Association on statin drugs found that people that were taking them long-term had increasing difficulty performing everyday tasks such as driving a car. Now, this is American Heart Association, but they're not telling the general public this. They just put it in a journal, and that's sort of the end of it. The doctors don't read all these articles because they feel like they don't have time or they're too busy, and so they're not aware of it either. But there's just a growing list of problems associated with these statin drugs, and when you have 67 million people on it, this list is just going to continue to grow.
Well, I actually was reading an article written by, or at least it was a question and answer to this doctor. Apparently he's at Harvard, who's written this book on statin drugs, who thinks they're being used altogether too much. And he questions a lot of this, and especially I think there's a difference between men and women as far as the response to them. And what did the statistic really show us about the decrease in death rate and people who are taking statin drugs? Apparently it does have some effect on heart attack, but not necessarily on death rate. So what do we really know about how effective they are in really helping the people that they're prescribed to help?
Well, it's difficult to evaluate because so many of these studies are funded by the pharmaceutical companies that are selling it. So you really have to question these studies that are being funded by the pharmaceutical companies. And, to realize how much money these people are making, it is the single biggest market drug ever produced. It made $492 billion globally. Liptor alone made $10 billion. So they have a lot of money to fund research that shows that it does things that it may not do. And when you look at certain drug effects, particularly funded by these pharmaceutical companies, we consistently find that they overstate their case, and we see that they'll say, well, there's 42% reduction in heart attack incidents in people that are on statin drugs. But those sort of things are easy to manipulate. When you look at independent drugs, we're starting to see that, well, some of this stuff doesn't quite jive. For instance, they came out and said, well, statin drugs reduce dementia and may reduce the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. But a recent study found that that wasn't true. As an independent study, they found no evidence of reduction of Alzheimer's disease or dementia, and another report that appeared in a medical journal said, in fact, it may pose a danger to people not only who have Alzheimer's disease, but who inherit a risk of developing Alzheimer's disease because it interferes with the cholesterol in the brain to such a degree it won't allow these neural communication networks to work.
And I think what's so frightening is the fact that the drug companies, if they lie to the public, nothing is ever done to them. Nobody from their staff ever goes to prison. And the pharmaceutical companies, of course, pay doctors to come up with reports. And if the doctor's report doesn't come up favorable to the drug company, they never get another study. They never get another grant. And if you're in the university environment, you're out of business. Publish or perish. You can't publish without the funds to do the studies, and you can't get the funds to do the studies, of course, if you're not in bed with the drug companies. Whenever you have independent evaluations, it's amazing how different than they are, those funded by the drug companies. I think what's even more frightening is, of course, these all have to go through the FDA. And it's amazing how many FDA officials, after they complete their term at the FDA, I'm talking about the top of the FDA, then they quit and they go to work for the drug companies. But, of course, they never want to suggest that there might be a reward-benefit ratio here. But I think everybody has to understand that when we talk about getting everybody in this country on these drugs, are they really interested in helping them? or could there be? Could there possibly be another agenda? We'll be right back here with our special guest. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, you know, it's interesting. I've been doing a fairly amount of reading, but I haven't even heard of this this other medication that you're talking about, this inexpensive medication that lowers the cholesterol. What do we really know, you know, from dependable studies about the relationship between cholesterol and heart attack? Is there a definite causal relationship there? Is there some sort of a linear relationship? Does it have to do with your general health? Does it have to do perhaps with your diet in addition to that? What about simply limiting the intake of cholesterol? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting when I look back to see how they ever came to the conclusion that cholesterol had anything to do with heart attacks. What I found out was that the original experiments that were done, this is way back in the 1930s, what they did is they used cholesterol and fed it to animals to see if they would produce arteriosclerosis. But what they used to dissolve the cholesterol was corn oil. And so actually they were feeding these animals corn oil, and they would develop some lesions in their arteries that looked like arteriosclerosis. So they just leaped to the conclusion that feeding cholesterol causes arteriosclerosis. And then they leaped to another conclusion that the vegetable oils would reduce arteriosclerosis. Well, what it turns out was actually it was the vegetable oil that was producing the arteriosclerosis, not the cholesterol. And that's because the vegetable oil is polyunsaturated, it oxidizes, it damages the wall of the blood vessel, and then the cholesterol accumulates in the wall of the blood vessel. But only when the cholesterol oxidizes does it cause any problems. So if you keep the cholesterol from oxidizing and you avoid vegetable oils like corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, peanuts, soybean oil, if you avoid those oils, then you dramatically reduce the risk of that cholesterol becoming oxidized. And then no matter what your cholesterol is, it could be 250, 260, if it doesn't oxidize, it does not produce arteriosclerosis. So we now know that the number one cause for hardening of the arteries, arteriosclerosis, heart attack, and stroke is inflammation in the walls of the blood vessel. So the idea is, well, let's stop inflammation in the wall of the blood vessel, and the cholesterol problem is secondary. So now when we look at the best way to do that is nutritional. Omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin E, magnesium, taurine, the flavonoids in fruits and vegetables, vitamin C, all of these things protect the wall of the blood vessel from being inflamed, and that blocks the arteriosclerosis. Now, one of the big secrets of cardiology is that cholesterol, elevated cholesterol, has nothing to do with 50% of heart attacks and strokes.
I think that is such an important point. 50% of heart attacks and strokes are not related to cholesterol.
Absolutely nothing to do with it.
So what are they related to?
Well, they're related to four factors. They're related to elevated LPA, which is lipoprotein A, which is hereditary. That's the people that their father had a heart attack at 45 and they have one. You inherit that gene for that LPA substance. But that can be controlled by diet as well, even though it's hereditary. Vitamin C, lysine, curcumin tends to lower that. Then the next thing is the homocysteine. And we know that when homocysteine is even slightly elevated, it dramatically increases your risk of a heart attack and stroke, far greater than cholesterol. And again, that can be controlled by nutrition, because you increase your intake of vitamin B12.
Hold that thought there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Blaylock was saying that, first of all, that about half the heart attacks are in no way related to cholesterol. And the original studies were done with animals back in the 1930s to determine whether or not giving them cholesterol would lead to heart attacks. What they did is, of course, they put the cholesterol into corn oil, and then they fed the cholesterol to the animals, and they developed arterial plaques. What they only found out many years later It wasn't the cholesterol that was doing that. It was the corn oil. And, of course, years ago they told us, oh, you got to quit eating butter and things and ice cream and whole milk. You got to get on all these oils, you know, soybean oil and these various oils out there. They're the ones that are going to protect you, and they put them in the margarine. And actually, they were the ones that promoted the arteriosclerosis. Is that a fair statement, Russell?
Well, absolutely. And the other thing, they strongly promoted cancer and cancer growth as well.
So
now they're starting to admit that. Well, we've made a mistake. We told people to consume the wrong oil because that oil makes cholesterol oxidize, and that produces arteriosclerosis.
And then, of course, Dr. Blaylock was saying that the real problem is inflammation of the wall of the blood vessel, and that's where you really get into trouble. And the only half of the heart attacks can anyway be attributed to cholesterol. The others, and he was beginning to list the four other causes for the 50% of the heart attacks that have nothing to do with cholesterol being deposited in the wall because of the inflammation of the wall. In fact, they find C-reactive protein in about half of the heart attacks reflecting the inflammation there, and he points out that, you know, if you are taking vitamin C and certainly vitamin E and certainly good nutrition, and he listed a number of things you should take nutrition-wise, it will cut down on the inflammation on the walls of the arteries and prevent the laying down of the plaques, which, of course, lead to the occlusion. So for the half of the people, though, half of the cases that are nowhere related to cholesterol, and you started to list those.
Yeah, for instance, lipoprotein A is a hereditary factor. You inherit your risk of heart attack, and it can be as high as a 70% risk if you have positive lipoprotein A elevation. That can be controlled by vitamin C, and lysine lowers that level. Homocysteine is another blood component. If it's even slightly elevated, even high normal levels are associated with a dramatic increase in risk of heart attack and stroke. The homocysteine level can be lowered with three vitamins, B6, folic acid, and B12. The levels come down normal, and the risk of heart attack and stroke falls accordingly. C-reactive protein is a measure of inflammation in your body. And we find that people who have elevated C-reactive protein have a very high risk of heart attacks and strokes. That people who consume a lot of fruits and vegetables, particularly vegetables, the C-reactive protein falls. It takes the inflammation out because flavonoids in plants are powerfully anti-inflammatory. So that's the other. And then the final one is fibrinogen, which is a clotting factor in the blood. Some people have high levels. That means your blood clots easy, and that's what produces the heart attack. And so some of these things will reduce the fibrinogen. The polyisocyanol, in fact, lowers fibrinogen levels and reduces the risk. Now, if you have more than one of these four factors elevated, your risk just goes sky high. And we're talking about risk factors that are far greater than anything that you see with elevated cholesterol. The reason that this was never emphasized with the general public is because there's no drugs that will lower any of these. And since there's no drugs, physicians didn't want to deal with it because it was nutritional. So they dealt only with the half that had elevated cholesterol, and then they sold the story that it's the elevated cholesterol that's causing the problem. Well, when you look at the analysis of cholesterol, it's broken down into a lot of different types. It is only the small, dense LDL cholesterol that causes any problem at all. All the others are protective. So you can have a cholesterol of 280 if it's mainly HDL cholesterol or the large type LDL cholesterol. You're at very, very low risk. So a total elevated cholesterol tells you absolutely nothing. So you have to have the analysis to look and analyze which type of LDL do you have. And that tells you your risk that it has anything to do with cholesterol. The reason that small LDL is bad is because it's easily oxidized. And that's why the antioxidants tend to protect you against heart attack and stroke.
All right, fine. Well, our guest this evening is Dr. Russell Blaylock. And when we get back from the upcoming break, we're going to welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. It's so important that you get this information and you get it to your doctor and you get the documentation of what we're saying. And when we get back, we'll tell you how to get hold of Dr. Blaylock's a newsletter, and of course, the documentation he has is excellent on all of these things. You need to have that information. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. Russell Blaylock. Somebody had called in, and they wanted to go over the oils. What are the oils that really get you into trouble? The unsaturated or the saturated oil?
Well, these are polyunsaturated oils.
Polyunsaturated.
They're called omega-6 oils. This includes corn oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, canola oil, soybean oil. Those are your major omega-6 fats. All of those produce high levels of inflammation in your body, which promotes arteriosclerosis, heart attack, and stroke. They also promote cancer by the same mechanism. Chronic inflammation is a trigger for cancer. So if you're consuming a lot of those oils, which remember the American Heart Association told you to for the last 50 years, you put yourself at a much higher risk. And they're just now beginning to admit that in the medical literature, but not publicly to the public at large.
Now, how could we admit to the public we've been wrong all this time and tell them to do just the opposite for what they should have been doing?
You're saying people forget they also were assuring the public that trans fatty acid caused no problem. Now, suddenly, they've had to admit that trans fatty acid is a major cause of problems, only because the medical literature is so filled with studies showing the danger of trans fatty acid, they were forced to. But people have forgotten that it for years the American Heart Association had been assuring them that these were perfectly safe oils. And we have this continuing pattern of finding the government promoting things and lying about the fact that they promoted them once they're discovered to be dangerous.
Well, let's go to John, who's calling us here from Post Falls, Idaho, I guess it is. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hi there. I'm doing pretty well. Good evening, Drs. Monteith and Blaylock, and thank you for taking my call, Dr. Stan. I've got a comment and a question. First of all, my personal physician, Dr. William Correll, although not himself a cardiologist, works closely with the Heart Institute of Spokane and has some involvement with a study involving chelation for heart disease. And I think it's both interesting and relevant to tonight's discussion that, in his view, it's the oxidized rather than the reduced LDL, which is a problem, which at least partially accounts for the paradox of no definitive linear relationship between cholesterol and heart disease. In other words, we're right back to free radicals as the etiology, which is what Dr. Denham Harmon came up with way back, I think it was 1957.
Okay, now, did you have a question on this? And, of course, what about, we'll talk a little bit later about the chelation, but did you have a question for Dr. Blaylock?
Well, I do, as a guy that wrote the book on excitotoxins, and I wanted to congratulate you, Dr. Stan, on your debate with Dr. Alan Goldhammer. I heard on John Leffler's Steel on Steel recently. Were it a boxing match, I'd certainly give you the match, although I wanted...
Hold that thought.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is John, calling from Post Falls, Idaho. And, of course, he was, talking about the relationship of chelation to what's going on, and certainly as far as would chelation be beneficial. We'll touch on that a little later with Dr. Blaylock. And I appreciate your words of encouragement over our recent debate with Dr. Goldhammer. Anything else you wanted to say, John?
Well, you were talking to Dr. Goldhammer, and your indictments of the drug industry, Dr. Stan, were certainly on point. They were backed up with citations and facts. And yet one thing that really bothered me about the debate is that Dr. Goldhammer got away with what I think was a very misleading rebuttal to your charge that aspartame in its constituent molecule, phenylalanine, is an excitotoxin. And Dr. Goldhammer's reaction, just for the audience, was, oh, how absurd, it's being an intrinsic part of foods and proteins. And Dr. Blaylock is a physician slash scientist who literally wrote the book on excitotoxins. Is it not true that phenylalanine isolate, present without moderating effects of other amino acids, is a very drug-like, and it's an excitotoxin? Isn't that true?
Well, phenylalanine is not an excitotoxin, but the aspartic acid certainly is. And this is the problem with aspartame, is that it contains toxic levels, or you'll develop toxic levels of phenylalanine, because it is toxic. but in a different type of toxicity than excitotoxicity. So you have the toxic effect of the phenylalanine, then you have on top of that the toxic effect of the methanol and of the aspartic acid, which is an excitotoxin. So you, what you have in the aspartame molecule is multiple toxicities. Because methanol breaks down into formaldehyde and formic acid, it attaches to the DNA and to proteins, and it's very difficult to remove, so it's an accumulative toxin. So if you drink one Diet Cola a day, you're accumulating damage to your DNA, so it's not safe. The more you drink, the more you consume, the worse the damage, and the sooner you're going to start seeing problems, including cancer. You know, this is one of the big problems that delayed the approval of aspartame was the 47-fold increase in brain tumors. But it also caused tumors in multiple organs. And it was only by some prestidigitation by the government that it was ever approved. But you're exactly right. These things are powerful toxins, and they know it. And people like Goldsmith, they just make these crazy statements. Of course, phenylalanine is found in the food, and of course, aspartic acid is found in food, but it's bound, and it's slowly released so the body can metabolize it. When it's in these liquid aspartame forms, it's quickly absorbed to reach high blood levels, it passes into the brain and causes toxicity. He knows that. I mean, he's not that big of a fool. But
Well, we really don't want to get back to on another subject, but thanks for your call, John. Let's go to Gene from Walla Walla. Gene, do you have a question apropos to our discussion of statins?
Yes, I sure do, Dr. Stan and Dr. Blaylock. Thank you for taking my call. You're really talking to me tonight. I'm 57 years old. I just had 3 stents put in my RCA. So this has become very important to me. I've always eaten well, non-smoker. According to my physician, my C-reactive protein test is low. My homocysteine test is low. And cholesterol about 185. But I would tell everybody listening to this program tonight, don't depend on what your number of cholesterol is to determine whether you're susceptible to heart disease.
In other words, with 185, why you're still having to put the stents in.
Right.
Okay.
Family history. I have a lot of family history of this. But me and the cardiologist and my personal physician are really bumping heads over these statin drugs. And I subscribe to Dr. Blaylock's wellness newsletter, and I would certainly encourage everyone to subscribe to that.
All right.
But what I wanted to ask Dr. Blaylock, is the real measure here on this lipoprotein small a what we really need to be looking at to see where we're at there, and what is the threshold that I should be looking for?
Well, it's not the only thing. You know, what you're doing with the LPA is primarily looking at hereditary risk.
Okay.
And if you say you have a hereditary risk of heart attack, that should have been the first test you ordered, was the lipoprotein A, because it is a hereditary factor.
Well, I just met with my physician after this, and, you know, I have to make him do this test, because even the local hospital and their laboratory, they're not equipped to make that test.
I find a lot of doctors have never even heard of it, and cardiologists yet. It's in
right.
The medical literature, and there's a lot of new articles about it because of its strong connection. Like I said, if you have a high LPA level, it increases your risk of heart attack something like 70%. But your level should be less than 10 milligrams per deciliter. But I would certainly get that test if your other tests are coming back fairly normal. But, you know, you're in the case now where what you want to do is prevent oxidation of your cholesterol. And the best way to do that is magnesium, taurine, and fish oils, and your vitamin C and your vitamin E.
Taking it. I'm
right.
Doing that.
And,
in fact, I went on the Internet and researched and ran into Dr. Pauling's research, and I'm kind of, along with his stuff and what you sent out in your letter, is kind of where I'm at.
Okay, you're taking lots of vitamin C then.
Yeah, 10,000 or 10 grams a day.
Okay, fine. I think that's a great idea. Okay.
And just one last question on
okay.
This polycosanol. You find from various manufacturers, some use sugar cane, some use rice. Is there a difference?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But the interesting thing about it, they found that doses above 20 milligrams really you don't get any added protection. That's sort of the maximum dose, which makes it nice. It's relatively inexpensive compared to drugs, and so you just take 20 milligrams once a day, and it keeps things under control.
Do you think that could be the reason that it's not written up in the medical literature? It's not talked. I mean, it's written up in the medical literature, but not talked about commonly when they're talking about how we're going to stop heart attacks. Certainly, I don't think that they're going to send people around to the various hospitals to give talks on a product that they can't make any money on, because so many of these medical talks are actually financed by the drug companies.
Well, I can tell you that 10 milligrams...
There's multiple articles about the beneficial effects of polyglucosanol on its cholesterol-controlling effects. It's in the scientific cardiology journals. It's just that they can't make money, so they don't want to promote it.
Okay. Anything else, Gene?
That will do it. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, so much.
Thank you so much. And let's quickly, one of our listeners had called in and asked, what about stopping the statin drugs? Can you stop them cold turkey? Should you gradually sort of get off them?
Well, what I would do is get started on the nutrients that you need to be on, and then you can stop them cold turkey.
All right. And
what they claim is the danger is if you stop them suddenly, then you'll have a heart attack. Well, that's if you don't take the nutrition. But if you do the nutrition, then you thin your blood, you're increasing flow through the vessels, you stop the inflammation, you stop the oxidation, so you can cold turkey stop your statin.
Well, okay, so we're talking about large doses of vitamin C and large doses of vitamin E and the fish oils, that's omega-3 oils. What else?
Well, and the magnesium is particularly important. There's a considerable amount of research that shows there's a very strong connection between arteriosclerosis and low magnesium level. And that's because magnesium reduces inflammation, is absolutely necessary for what we call endothelial cell function. These are the cells that line all blood vessels, and they control the entire blood vessel. And the research now shows that this is the primary cause of the dysfunction or the malfunction of the blood vessel is endothelial damage. So anything that protects that endothelium protects you against heart attack and stroke. Well, that's what all of these things do. Taurine, fish oils, magnesium, they protect that endothelial lining, vitamin C, the vitamin E, the natural form, protects that lining so that these cells function normally. It's been absolutely proven that what happens when you develop a plaque in your artery, this cholesterol plaque, when they look at it, it's filled with a very high content of free radicals. So they know that it's the free radicals that is oxidizing the cholesterol, and that's what's producing the problem, and that's what produces the sudden thrombosis that leads to the heart attack. So the primary attack should be on reducing the free radicals, and you do that as I outline in my newsletter. The newsletter goes in a lot of detail exactly what you need to know about preventing heart attacks and strokes. It's a little more than we could tell them a single program, but it's well designed to obtain these objectives. But we find these things work extremely well.
Let's tell our listeners how they can get your newsletter and how they can get your website, too. But first of all, how can they get the newsletter?
The newsletter, you can go on www.blaylockreport.com, blaylockreport.com. That's the newsletter. My personal website is www.russellblaylockmd.com. It's RussellBlaylockMD.com.
All right, that's www.russellblaylockmd.com. And then the Blaylock newsletter, blaylockreport.com. And let's go then to... Robert, he's been waiting patiently. He's in Illinois. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I had a question for Dr. Blaylock. I was wondering if what he thought of the alternative explanations of heart disease involving one thing is like some say it's a nanobacteria that causes calcification, and then and also with endocarditis and things like that.
Yeah, I cover that in the newsletter, and basically what they've seen is there's a group of bacteria. One comes from the mouth. We know that people that have a lot of gum infections have a high heart attack rate, and that's because that bacteria has been isolated from the blood vessels that have the arteriosclerosis in it. So we know these bacteria circulate in the blood and they'll implant in the wall of the blood vessel. What the bacteria are doing is they're producing inflammation, and the immune reaction against the bacteria produces the free radicals, and that's what produces the rest of the story. But there's several, like chlamydia is very strongly correlated. We find that people that are put on antibiotics tend to have less arteriosclerosis than those that have not been on antibiotics, and they figure this is because of the killing of the chlamydia. Some viruses can do it. Some of the herpes virus, like cytomegalovirus, even the influenza virus has been implicated. So we know that infectious organisms, and of course this nanobacterium is one that's been isolated. It's as small as a virus, and it tends to grow inside of concretions of calcium inside the wall of the blood vessel, which makes it very difficult to sterilize with antibiotics.
Well, now, is this like a mycoplasm, this nanobacteria you're talking about?
Well, it's much smaller than a mycoplasm, okay. But it's similar in that it can be intracellular. But it tends to collect these layers of calcium around it. So when you look in the blood vessels that have arteriosclerosis, you'll see calcium deposits, and this nanobacteria apparently grow in that. And I think this may be why chelation works, is because it removes the calcium, and that makes the bacteria vulnerable to antibiotics.
All right,
so anything that causes inflammation in blood vessel, whether it's heavy metals like mercury, lead, fluoride, MSG, anything that causes inflammation will cause arteriosclerosis. And all of those things, mercury, lead, fluoride, and MSG, have been shown to cause inflammation of that endothelial cell lining in blood vessels. So we know that they contribute to arteriosclerosis.
Okay, Robert, anything else you wanted to ask?
I was wondering, in that case, is there some nutritional supplement that one could take daily that would work like an antibiotic that would work against those, you know, the potential of that?
One of the best is aged garlic extract. Garlic is a very powerful antibiotic, and the advantage is that bacteria never develop resistance to it, and you can take it all the time. We find that actually taking aged garlic extract is one of the few things that will actually reverse arteriosclerosis, not just stop it, but will reverse it and start opening up the walls of the vessel.
You refer to is it AIDS, garlic extract?
AIDS, yeah. Aged, what they do is they age it almost.
Oh, aged, okay.
This is the type of garlic they use in almost all the cancer experiments and arteriosclerosis, so it's a very effective form of garlic. You can buy it most anywhere.
Well, we're using something called Alamax, which is just the allicin. Is that how does that fit in? Would that be ineffective with garlic?
It's not as effective. The aged garlic extract seems to be the most effective. In fact, it even has a smaller concentration of allicin than ordinary garlic. So it's not the allicin that seems to be the effective factor.
All right, fine. Okay, thanks very much, Robert. Let's go to Marilyn, who's calling us from Deer Park, Washington. Hi, Marilyn.
Hello, good evening, gentlemen. My husband is 65 years old. His mother and three aunts have small arteries. They've had heart attacks and angioplasties. We don't want that to happen to him. He wants to get off Lovastatin. He's been on it for about 2-3 years.
What's he on?
Lovastatin.
Okay.
And he wants to get off of that. And I heard Dr. Balog just say that if they quit cold turkey, he needs to take healthy alternatives.
Right.
We have CoQ10, 30 milligrams. And how much vitamin C and magnesium should he be taking on a daily basis then?
Well, your CoQ10 is way too low a dose of 30 milligrams.
Okay.
He should be taking at least 150 milligrams.
Okay.
Because it severely depletes CoQ10.
Now, the CoQ10 is depleted by the statin drug.
Right.
That's what I heard
him
say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a severe depletion of the CoQ10. There's evidence now that that's why there's this tremendous rise in congestive heart failure. It's because the heart needs the CoQ10 for the muscle contraction, and that taking all these statins weakens the heart muscle, and so we're seeing this explosion of congestive heart failure in the United States. As far as the vitamin C, he needs to take the ascorbate, which is the buffered vitamin C.
Ascorbate?
A gram at least 3 times a day.
I'm sorry, how many?
A gram, 1,000 milligrams.
Okay.
The vitamin E needs to be natural form vitamin E, not the vitamin E acetate, but the natural form, which will contain all the different components of vitamin E.
Okay.
Gamma E is the most anti-inflammatory. So when you buy the natural, it has a lot of gamma in it.
Okay.
Now, come in a gel capsule. You do not want to eat the gel capsule. It's gelatin. Gelatin, high-risk mad cow disease, has fluoride in it, has MSG or glutamate in it.
Okay.
Puncture it, put it in a teaspoon, mix it with your fish oil, and take it that way.
Oh, okay.
Now, your fish oil will dramatically reduce your risk of heart attacks. One study showed a 52% reduction if you just eat fish once a week. So that shows how powerful it is.
What about borage oil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, borage oil is GLA.
Okay.
But your fish oils, you need highly purified fish oil.
Okay.
And take that every day.
Okay.
And,
Go ahead. Anything else, Meryl?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you.
God bless. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Okay. We'll be back here in just a moment. And let's see. We have one more caller, but we'll get to him. And then the hour goes by very, very quickly when we have Dr. Blaylock on with us. So, and remember, you can get his newsletter by going to his site. And that's, of course, the Blaylock Report, www.blaylockreport.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. We have one final caller, and that's Tom from Ohio. Hi, Tom. How
are
you doing?
Okay, how are you doing?
Doing just fine, thanks.
Dr. Blaylock still on?
Yes, he sure is.
I wanted to... okay, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air.
Oh.
You're being heard all over the world as we speak.
I thought it was a commercial.
You're being heard in Asia, you're being heard in the Orient, and you're being heard in Europe. So go ahead.
Well, there's a commercial on right now. I didn't know I was.
No, you're not. Don't ignore the commercial.
Okay, because I wanted my son to hear this, and he's in the other room.
Well, I'm sorry. But you better bring him in there so he can hear it. But ask your question quickly, because right now, of course, we're broadcasting, but they are over the satellite. They're broadcasting a commercial. But what was the question?
Phosphoric acid, does that have anything to do with your health?
Phosphoric acid?
Yeah, and soft drinks?
Yes, it's a powerful depleter of magnesium. People that drink a lot of soft drinks are very depleted in magnesium. That increases your risk of heart attack and stroke and a lot of problems, particularly brain problems.
Will it cause an eating disorder?
Well, I'm sure it's irritating to the GI tract consuming a lot of that.
And of course, if it's a diet drink, then you're getting the aspartic acid, and that makes you obese.
Is there any over-the-counter stuff I can get to help me, like quit smoking and quit eating so much?
Well, with smoking, you just need to quit smoking. But you improve your health. I mean, if you're taking the supplements and taking the good diet, you're going to significantly protect yourself against the smoking. And as your health gets better, quit smoking.
What kind of fish oil did you just the regular gel caps? In the bottle at the store?
It has to be liquid, not in capsules, but just liquid. They're very purified forms. They remove all the mercury and pesticide contamination.
Does GNC carry it?
No, they have, I wouldn't use their product.
Okay, they're the only thing in the neighborhood.
There's Carlson Labs. I don't know if you get on the internet, but CarlsonLabs.com, and they have a very... pure Norwegian fish oil that I recommend.
Well, thank you, doctors, very much.
Okay,
I wish there was a million more of you each. I really do. Thank you.
Just keep listening. We'll have Russell on again here, I hope, in another few weeks. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, Russell, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we've got to let you go. We could probably keep going. We've got the whole board lit up with questions, but the time has come, and we'll be talking off the air. Thanks very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, our guest has been Dr. Russell Blaylock, and I've known him for many, many years, certainly one of my favorite guests, yours too. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got a couple of people on the line, Carol from Oklahoma and John from Spokane, and I hate to tell you, but Dr. Blaylock's gone, and we're just not going to get to your calls. And
we've got
a great guest for the next hour, Dr. Joel Skousen will be with us. Anyway, this is the time I want to mention that we do carry Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, that covers a lot of what we've covered tonight. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Certainly my wife loves that book. She uses it, you know, because what they do is at the stores, they confuse a lot of the things they put in MSG, and they've got all sorts of names there so that you won't know what they've got in there. But MSG is a excitotoxin. It's something you should not be eating because, of course, it destroys brain cells just exactly as the NutraSweet does. They are all excitotoxins. They are dangerous for you, which takes us to the second book we carry by Dr. Blaylock entitled Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. So you need to get the two books by Dr. Blaylock. They're both fascinating. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life and Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. Now, we have a four-tape set with Dr. Blaylock called Life-Saving Secrets that deals with many of these things. Now, it doesn't specifically deal with the statin drugs we were talking about tonight. If you want to get a copy of this tape, of course, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will want to get some of the other tapes which we have. Dr. Blaylock mentioned the danger of fluoride. We have actually four-tape sets on fluoride. We have a DVD on fluoride. We carry the book, The Fluoride Deception by Chris Bryson. And then, of course, there's a section in Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets, on fluoride. Excellent. My newsletter, both my November and December newsletters deal with fluoride. If you'd like to get one of those newsletters free, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we hope you'll want to subscribe to the newsletter because you're always going to get valuable information. The December newsletter is Dr. William Hersey's testimony before the Senate back in the year 2000. Dr. Hersey works with the water purification element or department at the EPA, and all the scientists there know that they're poisoning the American people. They've been trying to get the information out, and you'll find it in Dr. William Hersey's testimony, which is reproduced in my December newsletter. Of course, you can always get that off the Internet as well. But we'll be glad to send you one of our newsletters free of charge if you just give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We have a four-tape set on mercury. We have a video on mercury. We have a four-tape set on aspartame. And then, of course, we carry Dr. Russell Blaylock's book on aspartame. We have a video on aspartame called Sweet Misery. And then, of course, we have the classic book on aspartame called Aspartame Disease, The Forgotten Epidemic by Dr. Roberts. I mean, this is a 1,000-page book. The only reason you get that is you really want to have all the information. And the scientific studies, it's all out there in the scientific studies. I mean, aspartame produces pathological obesity. It produces, it aggravates your diabetic condition and may even precipitate that. Of course, it can produce cancers, and it can produce brain tumors, and it can produce convulsions, and it can produce alterations in your mind and your endocrine system. And they know all of these things. They just don't want you to know that. That was why when we did the debate this last week, that I mentioned that the active ingredients are aspartame, are methanol, aspartic acid, and, of course, phenylalanine. Well, the response was why phenylalanine and aspartic acid are essential amino acids. Yes, they may be essential, but in high doses they can create all sorts of problems. And, of course, the aspartic acid becomes aspartame, which is an excitotoxin. An excitotoxin that is part of this whole incredible problem that destroys brain cells in excessive amounts, why it creates real problems. Well, we're out of time. I could go on, but remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. For our provision and protection until Monday, may the Lord be with you.